All right, we're going to get started in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2. Verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto the flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works in the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest or allowest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the message to the church at Thyatira. Now, I've heard other preachers in time past call it Thyatira. I prefer Thyatira. I think it's probably the right way. But any rate, and you look on your map, you see your progression of the cities. Now, Thyatira is the third of the churches that has some direct connection with Satan. You had the church at Smyrna. People were of the synagogue of Satan. And the church at Pergamos, they were where Satan dwelleth. And now in the church at Thyatira, the depths of Satan. Who knows the depths of Satan? Well, I think that has direct connection with Jezebel. Anyway, there were some problems in the church at Thyatira, but everything wasn't wrong. Everybody wasn't wrong. And he makes that distinction. So he says, now, these things saith the Son of God. And this is the only time in these seven messages that he refers himself as the Son of God. Now, we know he's judged because he became the Son of Man. John, the fifth chapter, tells us that. But now he says, these things saith the Son of God, and I'll elaborate on this in just a minute, but he didn't say he's the son of Mary. And there you're going to get the direction I'm going with this. So he's the Son of God, who hath his eyes likened to a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. As we told you back in chapter 1, as we saw the symbolic picture of Jesus Christ, then those eyes as a flame of fire, and that would indicate that he is the all-seeing, all-knowing judge. And those eyes pierce. Now, I say, well, that's symbolic. Yeah, it's symbolic, but it's not there to teach symbol. It's there symbolically to teach a literal truth about the nature and about the attributes of our Lord. And he hath his eyes likened to a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Now he is the judge. And so these feet, they won't be harmed by heat. And he's treading out the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And this is where he begins, is his churches. Now I want to underscore that. These are the seven assemblies of Asia Minor. There is no such thing as a universal invisible church. The word says they are the church. It's the church, the assembly. That's what the word means. Now, Dr. Hogjaws and all of his smarts, his intellect, cannot refute that. The word ecclesia in the Greek meant, when it was written, assembly or congregation. And that's all it meant. And you cannot have an assembly that is universal. Nor can you have an assembly that's invisible. If it was universal, where would you put them? If it was invisible, how would you know? It's neither. It is assembly. And I hope somebody gets this. It is only assembly. Now, again, he says, I know thy works. That's good and that's scary. He knows the works that are good and he elaborates on those. But are you ready for the Lord to reveal all of your works? I'll have to be ready when the Lord's ready, but I don't. The only thing that's going to give me any consolation at all is I ain't the only one. That's going to be. So, anyway, I know thy works, your charity. Now, the word charity has taken on a different connotation of meaning in our world, but under the King James English, it meant love. Well, charity sometimes is brought on by love. Many times it's just brought on by political expediency. I don't know if I can find it right now, but I've got a book in there by Roussas Rushdoony. He's a great writer. The Politics of Guilt and Pity. Wrote that whole book, and he believes in absolutely the doctrine of total depravity. He says that the majority of charitable works that are done out of guilt. Anyway, it may seem to be a severe judgment, but I think he's pretty much right. Anyway, I know thy charity, thy love, and your service, and faith. Now, is that service, I think, goes connected with that charity. That would be, I think, they took care of people that had needs. And your faith, and I believe that's faithfulness also, goes with that faith. And thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. So they're doing a lot of work. So the Lord commends them for that. And every one of the Lord's churches ought to be doing a lot of work. I know we get sick. I know we get old and get feeble. I'm about as old and feeble as I get. But I'm not going to quit till I'm dead, unless I lose my mind. If I lose my mind, I won't know what I'm doing. But I'm not going to quit until I'm dead. Well, I'm going to retire. I don't understand preachers retiring. I don't understand that. What are you going to do? I don't see any preachers in here retiring. You, brother? I don't see preachers retiring. And I'll tell you what, with what I see, we got on the scene right now. I know some preachers that retired that probably shouldn't have. We need preachers that know the truth. Amen. And are able to preach and teach the truth, the whole counsel of God. I don't need people quitting. We just don't need people quitting. God didn't call you to quit. He called you to serve. That's what he's telling the church here. I know your charity, your service, and your faith, and your faithfulness, and your patience, and your works. And that's where we need to be. Notwithstanding, that's not the last word. All that being said, I've got something else here. I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest, that means allow. You allow that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, do I believe that woman's actual name was Jezebel? I don't know. And it doesn't really matter. We know what kind of woman it is because the Lord calls her Jezebel. And that connects you right back with 1 Kings 16 when Ahab, the king of Israel, goes to the Zidonians and gets the king's daughter, Jezebel. The king's name was Baal. Simply means with Baal. Now there's a king of the northern kingdom of Israel. Shouldn't he have known better than that? Why would he go to the king whose name is with Baal? False god. Humongous false god. That's what they brought out of Egypt with them. But he brings Jezebel and marries her. And then he pretty much turns it all over to her. Ahab wasn't the head of that family. Jezebel was. You remember an old Ahab? He wanted Naboth's vineyard. And Naboth had a vineyard. It said hard by the palace, close to it. And so he says, Naboth, I want to buy your vineyard. Naboth says, it ain't for sale. Well, I'll give you whatever you want. You ain't got enough to pay me for it. The reason it's not for sale is because it is the heritage from the Lord. The Lord gave it to me, and it is not mine to sell or to give away or to barter away. It can't leave me. It's my inheritance. I preached on the Baptist heritage one time using that text. We've got a heritage, a Baptist heritage. And it's not ours to sell. It's not ours to barter away. It's not ours to just flip it away. And that heritage is the doctrine that God has given us. The whole counsel of the Word of God. The faith once delivered to the saints. And it's not ours to give away. It's not ours to sell. As I know of many preachers, I can name some who have thrown the doctrine away in order to get people in the church. I don't think those preachers have heard the last of it. It's not ours to give away. It wasn't Naboth's to give away. So Ahab goes home. And he's pouting. Don't you hate to hear a grown man pout? He was pouting. She said, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Pouting like a little kid." "Well, I want that vineyard that Naboth's got, and he won't let me have it. He won't let me buy it from him." "Oh, you big crybaby. I'll just shut your mouth. I'll go get it." Now I'm paraphrasing, but it's about like that. So she arrested Naboth, hired sons of Belial, people that would bear false witness, swear on a witness stand. And you know what? They convicted him. He was convicted before he ever got on trial. They stoned him to death. And Naboth took the vineyard, but didn't do him any good. We come find out, Naboth, they're going to be a smart arrow that's going to find him. A guided missile off the battlefield going to catch him right there. And old Jezebel, she comes out up on her balcony. She put all of her foo-foo juice and stuff on. Got all her eyes fixed up and everything all dialed up. And she saw, "Man, look at that cloud of dust up there. That must be Jehu. He's driving furiously. Ain't nobody else drives a team of a chariot like that but Jehu." She says, "I need that old boy." He stops down there and she says, "Yoo-hoo, Jehu." He looked up there. "Who's on the Lord's side?" She didn't expect that from him. He says, "You up there, throw down." And it threw down off that balcony. And the Bible says, just like was prophesied, the dogs will eat her. And the dogs ate everything except the skull, the hands, and the feet. That was all left of Jezebel. Jehu wasn't the child of God. He wasn't God's man. But God used Jehu to overthrow Jezebel. Guess what? That's just a foreshadow of what's coming. Yeah. Now this church ought not to have that woman teaching. And it's not because she's a woman, it's because of the kind of woman she is. You're allowing her to teach and won't do anything about it. I mean, you know, church just, they're not at liberty to let anything go on in the church. If the pastor hadn't got the guts enough to stop, the church has to. And that woman, Jezebel, calls herself a prophetess. Prophetess to teach. And to seduce my servants to commit fornication. And to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Well, don't you know that that's exactly what Baalism was? For the whole nation of Israel? And here you got this church allow this to go on in the church. Now we encounter a woman. And man, that could take us all the way back to Babel, the Tower of Babel. Semiramis. And these wicked women. Women are not wicked any more so than men are. But there are some wicked women. And so Nimrod and Semiramis. Look what they did. They invented idolatry. And it's flooded us. It's all over everywhere. All of this stuff going on right now, you can trace it all back there. But let me see how I want to do this. Over there in verse 24, he says, I say unto you, the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan. The doctrine being taught in verse 20, or it's been mentioned there. The depths of Satan. Well, let me back up on this now. So I've already told you this is the only time in all seven churches that Jesus refers himself as the Son of God. Well, when we see the depth of Satan, there is a battle that has been raging for all time, not eternity, but for all time. You see, now, Muslims and many other these heretics, they may talk about an eternal, the Buddhists and all that, an eternal conflict between good and evil. No, it's not eternal. No, it's not eternal. It's only in time. And that conflict is between Satan and Christ. And we see it worked out in the Garden of Eden. So, the depth of Satan is to remove Christ as the Son of God. Well, you see, he is the creator and heir of all things. Now, the Pope has already okayed billions of years in evolution, which removes the Son of God as creator. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But Roman Catholicism says that Mary, they pray to Mary, the Mother of God. That's what they call her. This, it's widespread, folks. Jesus, the only source and giver of life, the only Savior. Amen. But you listen to what the Catholic Church teaches and most others. You've got the seven sacraments. And if you're not submissive to the Pope and the Catholic Church, you're not saved. But then again, no Catholic is saved. They all die and go to purgatory in their own doctrine. I had that on Facebook again this week. Mother Teresa. She's give up to be the greatest nun that ever lived. Am I right? Worked there in Calcutta, in India, with all the poorest of the poor people in the world. And she dedicated her life to all of that. But you understand, she has not been canonized yet. She's not been made a saint. And according to their doctrine, until she has been made a saint, canonized by the Pope and the Catholic cardinals, she remains in purgatory, burning in the fires of purgatory, which the fires are just as hot as hell. That's Catholic doctrine. Check me out. Please, somebody, prove me wrong. Read the Council of Trent. Thomas Aquinas says, the only difference in between the fires of purgatory and the fires of hell are the length of time that you stay there. And nobody knows how long you stay there. That's so they can keep the money coming in. But I'm telling you what they teach, and there's hundreds. I know there are many hundreds of millions of people that believe that garbage. Maybe, I believe the Catholic Church has over a billion people that believe that. So you think, oh, well, we all know that. Look how many in this world do not know that. They're following along with that. Are they seduced? Yeah, they sure are. Over in chapter 17, I don't know if I get that. I won't get that far tonight. But he said he's going to do some stuff to her. Going to cast her into bed and kill her children with death. Look at what happens in chapter 17 and 18 to the old harlot of Rome. And who's going to do that? The beast. So Jehu is a type of the Antichrist, you liberal dogs. And I just told you how the Bible presents Christ. Creator, the only way to God, the only source and giver of life, the only Savior, the only mediator, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Rome presents Jesus as the Son of Mary, not the Son of God. Incidentally, the so-called nativity scenes, the focus is on the baby in that manger. That's the focus. And everybody is enamored with that. Everybody loves that. There's the Son of Mary. The baby. That's what they say. But that it really isn't it. That's Semiramis and Tamus. And you can see that drawn on the Greek Orthodox churches in Romania. Even on the outside, they got pictures all over. But they present him as the Son of Mary, not the Son of God. They don't pray, Lord, they say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. That's what they say. Mariolatry is the depths of Satan. Because it seeks to remove Jesus as the Son of God, as the only mediator. Real quick look at 2 Thessalonians. Verse chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm talking about the depths of Satan. Jesus said he gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Now there's physical, real fornication, and there's spiritual fornication, and I think both of them are included here. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the assemblies shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Reins is your kidneys, reins and hearts, all of your inward self. And the Lord with those eyes of flame searches all of us. None of us are going to get away. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. Evidently in this church you've got some that have drunk the Kool-Aid. And you've got others that haven't. Now, why doesn't the Lord tell them to leave that church? My only guess is there probably wasn't another church they could get to. But he tells them, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Now, we'll have this again on one of the other churches. I hear these preachers say, oh, well, if the Lord's with you, we've got to launch out and do great things for the Lord. Build great buildings for the Lord. We got to go and do great things. But twice here he tells you, hold on to what you got. A lot of preachers do a lot of lying, and people follow along with it. He said, that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. That sounds like millennial truth to me. Amen. That sounds like bride truth in the millennial. Faithful bride. He said, he that overcometh, and I'll give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Of course, that's the Lord ruling. Who's he ruling? People in that millennial reign that ain't saved, that's who. As a vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers with that rod of iron, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Of course, that's Christ. That's a special. Looks like the bride would have that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Bible is connected. Amen. It's not just a hodgepodge of this and that. The Bible is connected. We go all the way back to the early days of Israel, even all the way back to the Tower of Babel after the flood. That's a long ways. And look how connected it is. And you see, it was that woman and that idolatry that plagued Israel through the whole Old Testament until finally God cut them off. They wouldn't leave the idolatry alone. Oh, Brother Gum, you ought not to be talking about idolatry like that. Where we are in this new age. John said, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So, who's going to destroy her? Well, Jehu got the original Jezebel. And the beast, the Antichrist, is going to get the next one. Rome. Absolutely.